in my own home. And it's vulnerable and it's personal and it's raw and it's generally not the thing you probably put on a video. But come on, I feel like every breakthrough that we have becomes breakthrough for other people. And so that's my motivation in sharing this. So I recently was on a trip, and when I came back, I could feel something immediately, that something was not right. Something was going on with one particular child, but I didn't know that it was a child. I just knew that something wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it. The next day, I still just had that feeling, that sense that something is just off, but I just didn't have eyes to see anything beyond that. And on a particular Friday, my daughter came home from school and threw her backpack down and immediately went to bed. She didn't even get a snack. She barely said hi to me. So I thought, oh my word, she's struggling with something. And the other kids went to go check on her too. And she said she just wasn't feeling great. She was just going to rest for a little bit. And this had been going on for about 2 hours, and she was still in her room. And I thought, wow, she must really be getting, you know, a cold or something. And I was making dinner, and I heard the Lord say, don't leave her like that. Get her out of bed. So I went into her room, and to my surprise, she was wide awake. She wasn't even sleeping, but she had been in there for 2 hours in her bed. So I asked her how she was doing and if anything was going on at school. She said, no, everything was fine. And I think looking back, my spirit knew something was wrong, but I didn't know really what to do with it. And then the next day, on Saturday, we were really connecting as a family and spending time together. And she would be with us, and then she'd kind of run away, and she'd be in her room, and I kind of was feeling something, and so I'd go back into her room with her, and she's like, oh, I'm just organizing my shelves, or oh, I'm just dancing, or I just want to be spend a little bit of time alone. And then she'd always say, okay, Mom, I'll come back out. So it was kind of really subtle. And come on, you guys, like, Holy Spirit is such a parenting tool, it's not even funny. And sometimes when we feel those things as parents, the best prayer that we can pray is, whatever is in darkness, bring it into light. Whatever is in darkness, bring it into light. And so here we are on day, I don't know, 5, 6 of this going on. I was actually talking to a different child about their phone, and I was realizing that they had violated a rule that I have with a phone. And so it kind of just triggered, oh, I should be checking my other daughter's phone. And normally she's my super obedient, I don't have to worry about her at all child. But something, there was a check in my spirit that I should look at her phone. And I did. And the funny thing about it, let me back up and say, an hour before, she got into a scuffle with her brother because her brother wanted to use her phone, and she was super, super upset. And yet I told him to work it out. They worked it out. And yet he couldn't use the phone for school because the other daughter had it. And I remember I went to my daughter and I said, why are you okay that your sister uses it for fun, for photos, but you're not okay that your brother uses it? And I think, again, looking back, that should have been a flag for me, that she didn't want her brother to see something, but she was okay with her sister to see it. I don't know. In the scope of the story, that makes sense now, but at the time, I missed that. But anyways, so she came in, I was looking at her phone, and she was acting super, super shy. And I thought, okay, here we go. Sometimes it's a good thing to look at the children's phones and to actually find stuff, because it shows you as the parent what's inside their heart and how they're processing and how they're talking to their friends. And it's not always a bad thing to find stuff, because it's revealing what's inside their heart. Well, there's this one girl, and to my utter surprise, you know the saying, OMG, was she wrote OMFG, so oh my, F and God. And that didn't sit right with me. That like really didn't sit right with me, that this girl is texting this to my daughter, and that my daughter said nothing. She didn't say anything. She didn't defend God. She didn't say, I don't talk like that. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, that's the first thing I saw on the phone. And I scroll up, and I'm just seeing like a bunch of little things that were not sitting right with me. My daughter gave her the emoji of like the middle finger, and then she quickly writes, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to send that. But it just didn't feel right. And I see in these texts, I see a whole bunch of hearts that are in the different colors of the rainbow. And we all know what that means. And I knew what it meant when I saw that. And then, so the other girl would send it to my daughter. Then my daughter would send back a bunch of black hearts. And then other times my daughter sent it and the girl sent black hearts. And I was just like, oh, something's just not feeling right with this. And I get to the day that I got back from my trip. And this girl writes to my daughter, capital letters, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. But all the texts before that were deleted. And all my children know that if you're going to have a tablet, a phone, or whatever, a computer, you do not know the delete button. You delete nothing. If you have nothing to hide, then you hide nothing. And if you really are innocent, then you will leave it on your phone, your tablet, whatever, and I will be the one to delete them. It's just a rock solid core value that I have with giving children electronics. And she deleted everything from the day that I got back home from my trip. And remember, when I walked in, I could feel that something was off. So I asked her, what's up with these messages? I know that you've been texting her for months. And she gave me the whole thing about, I don't know, Mom. They just mysteriously disappeared. And I told her, I said, why don't you take 2 minutes in your room and gather your thoughts and come back. But I said, if you think that that's going to fly with me and that you're going to play dumb in this, it's just not going to work. So gather your thoughts and come back. She's in her room and she's sobbing. She's sobbing hysterically. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, so you deleted some messages. Let's just talk about what's on there. It didn't match her reaction. And went back in her room and she still started saying, you're accusing me of doing something and I didn't do it. And come on, nobody likes that, being in that place. But I knew she was not being honest. I just knew she was hiding something. And this went on for about 45 minutes. And I kept saying, when you're ready to get it all out, you let me know. But I'm not going to buy that nothing is going on. And I'm not going to buy that your phone just mysteriously deleted all of these texts. And so she finally came in and she said, yes, there's been a lot of stuff between me and this girl that I know that you wouldn't like. And I was afraid that I would lose the friendship if you saw it. And so we started unpacking that. What are you afraid of losing the friend? And if you're afraid of losing the friend, then what's going on that I wouldn't be okay with, or that would be in violation of what I would want for you? So we were talking about that for a while, and I really zoomed in on the, what do the rainbow hearts mean, and then the black hearts? And she said, well, we have this inside joke that we call each other gay. And that the other person then reacts, and then that person says it to the other person, and that person reacts. And I said, so you're playing a game, and you're making fun of being gay, but you aren't. Is that what this game is with this girl? And she's just sobbing. And come on, you guys, there are some things that there are no tools for other than Holy Spirit himself. And I asked her, I said, babe, I said, ironically enough, tomorrow night, Tuesday, I'm inviting a bunch of parents over, and we are talking about gender confusion, and we're talking about the curriculum that is out in the schools, especially California, and we are going after how do you teach children to have identity stability in today's world where anything goes, and they're even promoting it from the schools. And so this is on Tuesday, and I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness, this is unfolding with my daughter in my own home. It's just not wise to step on a platform when there's open doors in your own home. And so I said, I need you to be like ridiculously honest with me with this question. And I said, are you struggling with your identity? Are you, your sexual identity? Are you struggling with, those inner thoughts? And she just wept and wept. And she said, I am struggling, Mom. And I sat there and I was like, oh my word, what is coming? What is unfolding? And how do I respond? And I was just looking at her phone. I wasn't prepared for all of this. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because it's so brilliant. First of all, it's so sly of the enemy, but it's so brilliant the way that God rescues and redeems our children. So I really want you to stay with me to the end of this testimony, because it's absolutely, well, God is just really good. So I asked her, so what does that mean that you're struggling with your identity, with your sexual identity? And she said that every single day since she's been in high school, she has to watch two guys who are pretty rebellious and kind of in your face kissing in front of other people. It's almost like they go up to these other girls that they know are probably going to be a little awkward with it, and they start making out radically. I don't know about you, but at that age, heterosexual making out made me uncomfortable, right? How many kids grow up and they're uncomfortable with mom and dad kissing? Ooh, ah. Like there's a shock, and then there's like a being desensitized to it. And so anyways, my so my daughter was experiencing this, and she said there's a bunch of girls that are gay at high school, and they are constantly making out, which I don't fully get that because heterosexual couples are not allowed to make out like that in public on the campus. So I'm not quite sure why the same-sex couples are allowed to do it on her campus. That might be worthy of exploring with the administration. But anyways, she said, every time I see it, she said, I feel like, and it feels funny to her, but she said, I've started to have thoughts, well, is there something wrong with it? It looks so normal, like it's so natural for them. Should I be doing that? Could I be doing that? Do I feel that way? And she was very clear. She said, Mom, I don't agree that I feel that way. But she said, with tears streaming down her face, she said, there's not a day that goes by that I don't hear those questions. Should I? Could I? Am I supposed to be? And she, so that's how she's struggling with her identity. And so we just, I thanked her for being honest and for bringing that to me. And we just walked through what the Bible says about male and female and how God put our bodies together for a purpose. And we talked about some of the verses about homosexuality and about why would God say what he said about it. So we walked through that. And the more that God is bringing revelation and what should have been freedom for her, the more she was becoming distraught. And I'm thinking, wait a second, we are moving into breakthrough and we're moving into peace or like revelation with what's going on. And she's getting more and more upset. So I knew we were not at the bottom of it. And I had to tell her, I had to say to her, boy, this is a hard conversation. But I said, sweetheart, when you have those thoughts, you're thinking that they're coming from within you. Like maybe that's my desire or maybe that's something from within. But we don't believe that. That's not what I believe because we don't believe that God created us that way. Those thoughts are coming on you. And it just like the thoughts or the belief that like I'm dumb and I'm stupid and I don't belong. That doesn't come from within us. That comes on us. But it feels a lot like our own thoughts. And so we were walking through that and I said, just because you've had the thought that came on you and you were processing it doesn't mean it's coming you know, inside you or from within you. But I said, here's the deal, babe. I said, for those people that didn't know those thoughts were not within and they believed that they had enough evidence that it was from within, once you act on that and once you move into an actual behavior or an encounter with that, there is something in the spirit realm that is opened, and it is incredibly difficult for people that have had a same-sex experience to come out from underneath that on their own because it's such an entangling spirit. And due to the degree in which she was so upset and the freedom was just not coming for her, I had to ask her and I explained that to her and I said, if you have dabbled into this at all on any level, even a hug, I said, your mom wants to know because I want to be able to help you with this because I'm seeing some torment and I'm seeing that you are just not at peace. And I really want to be able to help you with that. And I know that it probably would be a big risk for you to share that with me, but I believe this is part of your freedom. And again, she just started sobbing and she said, Mom, it's not that. It's not what you think it is. And she reminded me of months ago, somehow it came up in just casual conversation that there was a boy in school that had grabbed her inner thigh. Come on, that's just all things violating for a young girl, for anybody, but for a young girl. It was super, super confusing, and it was very threatening for her. And so I said, well, how did you respond to him when he did it? And she kind of was like, well, you know. And I was like, oh, my stars, girl, you need to learn how to say no and how to say no with authority. And it took her a long time to role play and to practice with me how to be like, no, and to say no with meaning behind it. And she would say things like, well, I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to be mean to him. And I'm like, oh, sweetie, you need to be empowered in how to be a jerk in those situations. Like you don't need to be the nice Christian girl. You can be the one that is very firm and very loud in saying no. So I thought it was resolved. I'd asked her a couple more times, how's it going? And she reported back it was going fine. But as everything is coming out, she's breaking down. And apparently this young boy, my daughter was talking to another girl and this young boy came up and grabbed this other girl's breast very aggressively, kind of violently. And the girl's like, stop it. I said, stop it. And the guy's like, I can do whatever I want. And he kept doing it. And my daughter is witnessing being violated and not having a voice. And she's witnessing this girl standing up saying what I've told her to say, no, and be really firm. And the guy is like, you can't tell me what to do. I can do it if I want, and continue to go after and touch her. But the problem is, my daughter sits in by this guy in three different classes, and he's constantly touching her. He is constantly tapping her, pulling on her hair, grabbing her side. It's not always sexual, but he's constantly touching her body. And my daughter has moved into absolute partnering with a demonic spirit of fear in feeling sexually unsafe. She just absolutely feels threatened for her physical private parts, for her body, with this boy, and she has to go to school and manage this every single day that she's there. Ironically enough, last week there was obviously we don't know the full story because there's minors involved, but there was I don't know if it was a rumor or truth, but it did get out that one of their classmates was raped. And this just sent my daughter into absolute fear that this was going to be happening to her. And all of a sudden, light bulbs are going off for me with Holy Spirit. And this is what he showed me. She's 14. She's at a very, very critical season, pivotal season of her life of awakening sexually and awakening to the opposite sex. Before then, all girls like girls and all boys like boys. It's just the nature of being a child and liking your own, but not sexually. And so she's at this pivotal season of her life where things are opening up for her and puberty and all that kind of stuff. And here she has a boy coming at her in a way that is making her feel ridiculously sexually unsafe. And she's partnering with the spirit of fear with that. So here she's like, oh no. And then she has a girl over here who's starting to play games and to talk and to joke around about being gay. And because she's my the confusion for my daughter was coming, well, this doesn't feel right, but neither does this. If this is how boys interact with girls, I don't want any part of this. But then the seeds over here were like, well, that doesn't feel right either. And so every day there was this mental torment, this mental question of this, is it that? I don't want this. This doesn't feel safe, but this doesn't feel safe. Oh my stars, you guys, this is absolutely huge. I believe with every fiber of my being that the enemy was seducing my daughter to plant the seeds for her because of how this guy had been setting things up, or the enemy had been using him, had been seducing my daughter with confusion with her identity. I absolutely believe that he was caught red-handed, and he was caught manipulating some of my daughter's thoughts or influencing my daughter's thoughts because she opened it up to the spirit of fear. All that to say, we had the most unbelievable ministry time. You know, I say this a lot, but sometimes when it feels like all hell is breaking loose in your home, it's because there's parts of hell that needs to be broken loose. And that's exactly the testimony that I give in my reaction and what I was feeling and sensing in her reaction of lying even further, whatever. But we had the most glorious ministry time in that we got to forgive this boy for not keeping her safe. We got to break up with the agreement with the spirit of fear. We got to ask Jesus where he was. We got to renounce the lies of confusion over, or just the questioning of, am I this side? Am I that side? We got to ask Jesus to affirm my daughter, how she was knit together in my womb. We got to walk through all that. It was breakthrough. And for hours after that, every time I saw her, she would do this. I would be like, how you doing? And she'd go, I just feel so much lighter. I'm just so thankful I don't have to worry about those inner thoughts anymore. Come on, thank you, Jesus. So when she went to school, we had to walk through how she was going to handle some things with her friend, and how she was going to put up some boundaries and be a light to her friend and let her know, hey, I actually don't want to participate in this language or in this game anymore. And she was expressing, oh, I feel a little afraid. What if I do it right? And it just opened up this most beautiful conversation of you don't go into it as an argument ready to win. You don't go into this conversation with all the intellectual facts and like you're speaking against something or someone. You go into it speaking from your heart about who the Father is for you, what righteousness is for you, and you just speak from your heart about, I manage my own world, and in my world, I'm that confused about who I am, and I actually don't think it's funny to play a game about putting that on somebody, because there's a lot of people that are struggling a lot with that, and I'm not going to play this game anymore with you. So speak from the heart, not from the mind. So anyway, I am over the moon with this testimony and just so unbelievably thankful for the way that the Lord exposed the work that the enemy was doing at my daughter's heart. Obviously, you guys, it wasn't quite such a big deal yet as far as her thoughts about identity, as much as it is that my daughter's in a situation at school, she needs to be protected. And so now I get to come in there today and I get to make the phone calls that I need to, and I get to do what I need to do as a mom to protect her, to make sure that she is not being sexually harassed every single day by a young man that does not know self-control and does not know how to honor the word no from a woman. So anyways, that's the bigger picture of it all, that the Lord has stepped in and brought light to a situation that my daughter needed help in. So anyways, I wanted to share that with you. I want you to be blessed by this. I just feel like there is so much in this testimony for you to sit as mothers and fathers with Holy Spirit and just ask Him what needs to be highlighted. Is there anything about your child that you might need to know? And just don't be afraid to have questions, conversations with your child about this. Obviously, there's a difference between a 2-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 15-year-old, but most children are being exposed to examples of homosexuality in their schools. Schools are now teaching about it, not just for one day of sex ed, but it's incorporated in most of their curriculum. And if they're getting visuals of what it is, their minds are probably questioning. They're probably questioning, am I that? Could I be that? Should I be that? Is that right? Is that not right? And if we're not painting some of that for our children first, the world will. So anyways, so much more to unpack with this one, but I just wanted to release that testimony. Thank you for being a safe place where I can share that, and we'll continue the conversation on Facebook. So love you all. Thanks.